For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood.
I live upon a high hill.
Expertly crafted tunes with beautiful harmonies were a hallmark of a Spartanburg trio which gained cult status in the 1970s. Walter Hyatt, Champ Hood, and David Ball formed Uncle Walt's Band around an acoustic sound. Folk, swing, and bluegrass influences brought Hyatt and Hood together in high school. In order to play with them, Ball said he switched from guitar to bass fiddle to round out the group.
And because they had played together for maybe a year, when I joined the band and started singing that third part and playing the bass, the band got real good, real quick.
As Uncle Walt's band played at bars and restaurants around Spartanburg, it attracted an enthusiastic following, which included friend and promoter Chip Smith.
I knew all three of them had talent. But the three of them together was just magic. It was an amalgamation of jazz, swing, bluegrass, and even some Beatlesque ballads. But then they would play some Django Reinhardt, and Champ Hood was playing all these licks that he played.
Another friend from school was Paul Riddle, who was launching his own career with the Marshall Tucker Band.
Toy Caldwell loved them. Toy would always go and hear him play. He loved the writing and the chord structures and stuff of the tunes, and it was really unique, and it was different. I just loved it. I thought they were great. I was a fan from day one.
Ball said Uncle Walt's band moved to Nashville to try to be discovered, but soon went west to Texas, where it became a staple of the club scene.
Thank you so much, and howdy.
However, being a hit with crowds didn't result in a record contract, so the three friends came back to Charlotte to record their own album at the studio of media personality Arthur Smith.
The engineer at this place was a very smart guy, and he got it. You know, he knew what we were doing. And this guy in Charlotte, North Carolina, took an interest in what we were doing and was helping us. And you could do a whole LP, and they would shoot the photo and press the record, and it all sounded great. You know, it was quality.
Ball said the band hoped its self-produced record would attract the interest of major record companies, but he and his colleagues were musicians, not businessmen. Despite more self-released records and great popularity in Texas, success still eluded them. But Ball said the band had a great influence on many soon-to-be nationally known musicians such as Lyle Lovett, Marsha Ball, and Jimmy Dale Gilmore.
People used to describe Uncle Walt's band as musicians, musicians. It's like the musicians like to come hear us play. And I think that was because this was something we created. We weren't copying somebody else's style.
I thought they should have been playing stadiums and stuff, you know.
Riddle was one of many who were puzzled over the band's lack of national fame.
I thought they should have been a household name, but they were just incredible.
The band broke up in 1983, but because of its eclectic repertoire, it has been cited as the forerunner of Americana music. Uncle Walt's band continues to have a cult following, said Ball, the only member still living and now a country star. This interest has led to the recent re-release of the group's first album. Ball and Riddle have hopes that the re-release will bring new listeners to Uncle Walt's band, which Smith called ahead of its time. They believe the music is just too good to be missed this time around.
Aloha.
This report also can be heard on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood.